I had an interesting interaction with someone who reads my articles, listens to the podcast, gets the emails. And they asked me, he said, are you doing okay? Because, you know, some of your emails are pretty dark. And my response was, man, I'm doing fine. I'm trying to help you do okay. You and all the people who are listening, I'm trying to help everybody else get prepared. I mean, technically, although I wouldn't do this, I could stop publishing. I could stop talking online. I could just focus on growing food, which actually would be very joyful. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help other people survive what's coming, rebuild human society on the other side of this. So my mission is to share what's happening. In fact, this person, after we had this little conversation at the end, he said, and by the way, everything that you've talked about has come true. So think about it. He's saying, well, you know, your emails are kind of dark and it's all happening. So, you know, I said, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it is coming true. The food shortages are real. The dollar collapse is accelerating. We're going to be headed into hyperinflation. The food supply is going to get not only scarce, but very, very expensive. So I don't talk about negative situations for the sake of being negative. I talk about reality for the sake of being prepared. It's really that simple. Now then, I have a question for lots of people out there, perhaps you listening to this. The typical American freaks out over, let's say, a lack of toilet paper at Costco. They're freaking out over the infant formula rationing at Walgreens and CVS and so on. How do you think they're going to handle the real collapse, the real food supply lockdown that is underway? You know, when it really hurts, when you can't get food at the grocery store because the shelves are largely empty, or when there's price controls and therefore the supply chain is wiped out, or when there's food rationing enforced by the government. When you are told you can't buy more than one, you know, chicken or bag of rice or what have you, gallon of milk, loaf of bread, you know, every 3 days or something. How are the American people in particular going to handle that? And you see, I divide the American people into two camps right now. You've got the red-pilled people, the aware people, who are also, they tend to be preppers, and they are ready. They're psychologically, mentally ready for what's coming because they've been very much aware of all the censorship, the vaccine depopulation weapons, you know, the 5G towers, and on and on. And then there's this other segment of America, which is the oblivious fairy tale people living in an artificial world. And they have mocked preppers, and they believe the lies from the White House that tells them, oh, this is all, you know, inflation is just Putin's inflation. It's got nothing to do with money printing. They're like, we're not shutting down the food supply pipeline on purpose. It's Putin. And so these people have no preparedness, or virtually none, you know, a couple of days of food in the fridge, perhaps. How are they going to handle this? Remember, those are the people who tend to freak out when they hear that Elon Musk has bought, what, 10% of Twitter or something. They freak out over seeing the word Trump spelled out in chalk letters on a sidewalk. They get triggered by chalk, triggered by the idea that free speech might be allowed on Twitter. That's how fragile they are. So that segment of society is incredibly fragile. And I'll just say it bluntly right here. When it hits the fan, a lot of those people, they're going to kill themselves because they won't be able to psychologically handle the reality of what's happening as their artificial world shatters all around them. Their psyche will shatter, and they will fling themselves off of tall buildings in a single bound. They will do insane things. If they can access guns, they'll blow their brains out. And the practical truth is that these people will not last very long. By the way, these are also the same people who mostly took vaccine shots. Did you know that 96% of the trans people, you know, transgenders in America, or just LGBT in general, 96% took the vaccines? I mean, these are people who pride themselves on being unique an individual. But when it comes to vaccines, they all just obediently line up and conform and say, give me the shot. Me too, me too, me too. There's no individuality in that, is there? It's just conformity, just obedience. And then they mock the unvaccinated, but a lot of these vaccinated people are dying. They're dying from the blood clots. They're dying from thrombosis, you know, dying from side effects of the vaccine. And those deaths will accelerate. They're going to die from cancer and autoimmune disorders, genetic deformities, and so on. But think about the philosophy. They were so weak. They believed that their own immune system was weak and fragile. And so they believed that they needed this external intervention in order to solidify their own immune system against a virus that killed almost nobody in terms of a percentage, especially not people who don't have the comorbidities and so on. But they believe their own immune systems are so fragile that they needed this intervention. That's because that fragility is infused in their psyche. They are fragile in terms of their own self-perception. They're fragile often in terms of their strength, their physical muscle strength or stamina. Very fragile. Not physically very capable people, by and large. I know there are exceptions, but by and large, they're not that physically strong, and they're not mentally strong. And so if you think about the stresses, the mental and physical stresses that will be placed on people as the system collapses and people have to learn how to grow food all of a sudden and then actually do it and actually, you know, grab a hoe and a shovel and start making rows and dirt. Or I hope you don't have to till that dirt by hand. That's a workout right there. Get ready for some blisters, my friends. But you think about these people, are they going to be able to grow food? And I tell you, the answer is largely no. They're not going to be able to grow food. That's too shocking. It's like psychologically shocking to them. They can't imagine having to grow food. Many of them can't imagine doing work. They've been gifted everything by playing the victim. Sometimes among racial lines, sometimes now among gender lines. I mean, if you're a white person, you can't easily play the race card and claim you're black, but you can always claim you're the opposite gender, and then boom, you get the bonus points. Everybody has to give you everything. You get the job, you get into college, you get appointed, you get advanced in government just by pretending to be the opposite gender, you see. Well, those kinds of people are very, very fragile by and large because they haven't had to work for things in the way that other people have. They've been given everything by claiming a victimhood status. And in practical terms, when it comes to societal collapse, when it comes to the collapse of the dollar, social chaos, more crime in the streets, and so on, those people are going to be very, very hard pressed to actually survive. So if anybody should be listening to my podcast, frankly, it should be transgenders. And I welcome them to listen to my podcast. No, seriously. I welcome gay people and lesbian people and bisexual people. Actually, I don't care. I don't care what your sexual proclivities are. I don't care what letters you put next to your name and what you self-identify as your gender or even your species. You know, again, you can claim to be a Peruvian llama as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. But if you don't get prepared, you're probably going to die. So you need to get prepared no matter what you think you are. I mean, just because you self-identify as a llama doesn't mean that you're going to be able to survive a harsh winter because you have llama fur. This is the thing that, you know, your self-identification doesn't actually count in the real world, by the way. It only counts in the artificial world of the culture wars and the wokeism and all of that garbage and the corporate virtue signaling. In the real world, you'll freeze to death because you don't have llama fur because you're not actually a llama. You can pretend it doesn't give you fur. You know, same thing with food scarcity. You can pretend that you're not starving. Might be a handy skill. Walking around the grocery store with the food rationing cards and there's nothing left on the shelves and you can just say, well, today I choose to self-identify as someone who's not starving to death. Good for you. Good for you. let somebody else have the food on the shelves. If you just want to starve to death and pretend, I mean, why not also pretend to be a different gender, a different race, a different species at the same time? I'm going to pretend that I'm a fully fed female llama with fur. Okay, good for you. Maybe you can join the Penn State women's llama swimming team. You can be the fastest swimming llama in the world. Because there are no other swimming llamas. But whatever, you get gold medals and everything. That's you want to do that, go for it. But you're probably going to die if you don't get prepared to survive the food collapse, the dollar collapse, the violence that's coming. Because people are just really, really fragile. So, you know, again, you might think I'm mocking transgenderism in this case. I'm not. I'm using an example. I'm actually encouraging transgenders to listen to my podcast and especially get my new free downloadable ebook. It's available for transgenders and everybody else. It's called Resilient Prepping. It's not out yet, but it will be soon, maybe within 2 weeks or so. You can find it at the website resilientprepping.com. And it doesn't really talk about transgenderism. It talks about how to survive in a low-tech or no-tech societal collapse. And the book's entirely free. You can download all the audio MP3 files plus a PDF that's printable, a full transcript. It's all free. And that book will keep you alive. I mean, well, once you apply it, it will help keep you alive in a collapse scenario. And so everybody, I think, everybody deserves to have access to information that can help keep you alive. And by the way, that's the role of Google, is to isolate you from information that can keep you alive. Google is an anti-knowledge engine. They're designed to, you know, block your access to knowledge. Not to organize the world's knowledge, but to block knowledge and to keep you ignorant. That's what Google does, right? And that's what YouTube does and so on. That's what Twitter does. So if you're hearing this message, by the way, you're one of the few people who was able to break through all that censorship and have access to this information that can literally help save your life and also can do it for free, which is, you know, it's hard to get anything for free these days. And remember, the mainstream masses will never hear about this. They will never have access to this book. And as the collapse unfolds, many of them will literally die. And there's not much we can do to stop that as much as we try. We try to inform them, try to give them solutions, try to wake them up and red pill people all day long. And I'm happy to red pill LGBT people. Because, you know, they deserve the truth just as everybody else does. So we're doing our best, right? We're doing our best. Try to help as many people as we can, but realize we can't help them all. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com.